Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the wonderful state of religion and religious liberty in which we are living. Thank you for all the things you did through our history to make it like this for us. And thank you for the opportunities we've been having to learn about it. Pray you'll continue to bless us and help these students as they think more about this and make the truths of what you've done for us, help them to be a lively part of their conscience. Thank you for the little children that these young people get to take care of and be good to. Thank you for them, and I pray that you'll bless them also, so that in a few years they can be in middle school and high school and learning these kind of things. Thank you that that Audrey and Alvin get to learn to drive. I pray you'll bless them, help them to do well and learn to drive safely. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay, the quiz. Watch out, if you're still in here in 10 seconds, you have to answer you have to do the quiz. Okay. Did William and Mary agree with or disagree with the Declaration of Right? Or should I say, did they agree to or refuse to agree to the Declaration of Right? Number two, what year did the Declaration of Right become the actual statute or law in England, known to us as the English Bill of Rights? What year did the Declaration of Right become the actual statute or law in England, known to us as the English Bill of Rights? Number three, what king was criticized in the English Bill of Rights? What king was criticized in the English Bill of Rights? The four documents in this week's reading assignment. Which one does not contain a list of grievances against the government? Of the four documents in this week's reading assignment, which one does not contain a list of grievances against the government? Now, number five, list the four documents in their correct chronological order. List the four documents, and you may do that in some sort of shorthand. Don't have to write it all out. List the four documents in their correct chronological order. Today, there are two bonus questions. If you get either one or both of the bonus questions right, and if you had missed anything in the other ones, you can substitute the bonus question for one that you missed. The first one is this. In 1689, when William and Mary met a man with a wooden leg named Smith, what was the name of his other leg? That's the first bonus question. Second bonus question is, the second bonus is not really a question, assignment. Write the correct year by each of the four documents that you just listed in chronological order. And if you get all four of those years correct, And if you had missed any other question, then that could substitute. Okay, question number one. Did William and Mary agree to the Declaration of Right?
Yes.
Yes. Number two, what year did the Declaration of Right pass into law?
1689.
Uh-huh. So now, there's the actual long name of that statute, but we know it as the English Bill of Rights. What king was being criticized in the Bill of Rights?
James II.
What king was being criticized in the U.S. Declaration of Independence?
George III?
Yes.
Somebody,
what ruler primarily was being criticized in the 1836 Texas Declaration of Independence?
Antonio Lopez de Santana.
Yeah, that's right. There's more to it than that too, though, isn't there? Anyway, and which one of the four does not contain a list of grievances against the government?
United States Bill of Rights.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There are four of you. There are four documents. So, Angie, first one.
English Bill of Rights.
Year?
1689.
All right, Alvin, second one.
U.S. Bill of Rights, 1789.
All of that was wrong. So, try again. What is the next one chronologically after the English Bill of Rights?
Declaration of Independence, 1776.
Okay. Yes. All right, Audrey. Next one, if you please.
U.S. Bill of Rights, 1791.
Yes. Thank you. That helped me recover a little bit from the shock I had right before that. Okay. All right, Ava, fourth one.
The Texas Declaration of Independence, 1836.
Month?
March.
Day of the month?
Second.
All right, nicely done, three out of four of you. Okay.
I could remember March 2nd, but I couldn't remember what year. Seeing it's not 1821. That was everything else.
Right, that's right. There was a lot in 1821, wasn't there? All right. Now, your timeline. Yes?
You didn't tell us the answer to the wooden leg one.
Oh. Jones. So, the timeline. Today, here's how this exercise is going to work. I am going to indicate to you an entry in the timeline, either by saying part of it, or saying only the year, or something like that. Each student, then, needs to recite the whole timeline, just that one entry, not the whole time, that one entry, recite that one entry, and tell at least one thing about how that event affected the progress of religious purity and liberty in the English-speaking countries during those two centuries. You don't have to give a whole speech or write a whole essay. Just tell one thing that you have understood to be an effect of that. Most of the timeline entries, we have made a timeline entry because of the generally positive effect, the effect toward the progress from worse to better. Some of them are in the timeline because of their notable ill effect or regression in the process. And then not every entry that might be in general toward progress of religious liberty was entirely that. And so you might say one way in which it stalled progress, or one way in which it propelled things forward rapidly, or one way in which it kind of turned things backward for a while, or, you know, anything like that. Okay? All right, Angie. Ready? Okay. How about the one from 1526?
1526, Tyndale's complete New Testament in English is printed. This allowed the English people to have access to the Bible in their own language.
All right. Good. That's the idea. That was a good example of this. All right, Alvin. How about the one from 1588?
1588, Spanish Armadas defeated. The defeat of the Spanish Armada prevented a land invasion by the Spanish and prevented a possible capture of most of England.
That's all true. And what effect did that have on the issue of religious purity and liberty?
It prevented the Spanish introduction of Roman Catholicism again into most modern, and that indicating regression of who knows how long.
All right. Okay. All right, Miss Audrey. Would you tell us something? Would you address the matter of King Edward VI?
1547, King Edward VI is sent to the throne. He was the first Protestant king. So it's quite a step towards liberty.
All right. Okay, Ava, would you please speak about the matter of 1509?
1509, King Henry VIII ascends the throne of England. He was under him, Roman Catholicism thrived. And a lot of people were in darkness about the actual gospel.
That's true. Until later in his reign, for example, the year 1534, when
the Act of Separacy officially separated the Church of England from the Pope.
Okay. Congratulations on completing round one. Round two. We'll move to the 1680s. We have four entries from the 1680s. And you may choose your favorite or whichever one you can remember. You know, I'm just teasing you. I figure you could do it all perfectly. But you choose your favorite from the 1680s. Recite it correctly, and then again make comment on its effect on the cause. If you please, miss. We'll go back around the other way. If you please, miss.
Hold a general assembly in London, and they improved the situation of a lot of the churches in England.
By how? How doing? By doing what? In what, let's say one of the ways in which they did that. We'll let what you said already suffice. Miss Audrey, would you pick one and say something about it? Alvin, pick one of the remaining two.
1689, King William III and Queen Mary II ascend the throne in the Glorious Revolution, securing the rights that the people had always had, but securing liberty and safety for a lot of the people who had been persecuted for 100 years or more, less, and to less degree, and to more extensive degrees.
Since we're really only talking about since 1660, let's not go into 100 years. Anyway, I don't mean to. Yeah. I shouldn't be argumentative.
Change the way, pave the way for the liberty that we enjoy now. Setting up a declared rights to be upheld by the government, and
that's good stuff. All right, thank you. One more, you don't get to pick, but
1689, Second London Baptist Confession.
While you are practicing the entry for 1677, go ahead and say that one.
1677, Second London Baptist Confession is published.
True. So, however, now that you had that little diversion, give us the last one in our timeline and say something about it, if you please.
1689, the English Bill of Rights is passed.
Which then, what... What observations would you make on that?
Secured liberty in England for Protestants by granting them by upholding their right to bear arms.
All right. Hey, you all survived that. You know, it is very good to memorize something and be able to recall it. You know, you basically can't have any higher thoughts, better thoughts, if you don't know the facts and be able to remember them. But then, especially people your age, you know, you're moving away from bare memorization of facts to memorizing the facts and understanding what those facts mean and how to take the things that you know factually, synthesize them into something, you know, true to say and think about them, be able to evaluate the things, the facts that you've learned, make judgments about the worth of them, the goodness or badness of them. So, letting you do some of that kind of thing. Okay, friends. The reading assignment for this coming week is going to be the same four documents that you've already been working on this week. And then as we go through today's class, you'll understand kind of more what in those you need to be reading about. 1 Kings chapter 12. First Kings chapter 12. Those students who didn't even bring their Bible may look on with me. I won't mention any names, only nicknames. I won't mention any names at all. Alvin, since this is your birthday, would you please read us these two verses aloud? 1 Kings 12, 7 and 8.
And they spoke to him, saying, "If you will be a servant to these people today, and serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever." But he rejected the advice which the elders had given him, and consulted the young men who had grown up with him, who stood before him.
Okay. I meant to ask for verses 6 and 7, not verses 7 and 8. So, Alvin, give me another try, and read us verses 6 and 7.
Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he still lived, and said, "How do you advise me to answer these people?" And they spoke to him, saying, "If you will be a servant to these people today, and serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever."
Thank you. So, I think that we have a really good opportunity here in front of us, the five of us. We had a class last year about Texas history, a Christian-oriented view of Texas history. I mean, there's a lot Christian in Texas. I don't mean we're like inventing Christianity for Texas, but I mean trying to see Christianity in the history of Texas, and we only really got through the colonial period up to the Declaration of Independence. And now we have had this class where we have looked through another period that culminates in a change of government and the important documentation of it, and also looking primarily at the Christian aspects of it. And we've still got some time before the end of the school year. And so we have an opportunity here to look into the relationship between these two things. And then in between them, of course, the U.S. founding events and documents. As Americans and Texans and English speakers, these things are all our history, and they all have played an important part in bringing us to the wonderful situation that we're in right now. And then whatever political upheaval there might be in your lifetime or your children's, the things that have gone on in these previous times of political upheaval and how they affected our faith and the freedom to practice our faith, if you really get a good hold on these in your mind and some sound ideas about them, they could serve you very well in the future. So I'm going to try to get you... I'm not going to try to get you. I know you're very willing. I'm going to give you some opportunity here to do some research into this. I have armed you with some paper copies of those documents. I didn't tell you to bring yours back. Did you bring yours with you?
No, I didn't.
Good. Did you bring yours?
No, I didn't.
You didn't bring yours? You didn't bring your Bible, and you didn't bring your papers? You two, I'm going to get some noodles wet when we get home so I can whip you with a wet noodle. I have made up this chart, which I'm going to provide to you at no additional cost. What you already paid to take this class will also get you this chart. So we're going to work to, you know, on a variety of issues, because look, I have lots of these. So we're going to identify a subject and then find places in these different documents where that subject is mentioned, and, you know, write a few lines of what we find. And we would like to find, especially we are hunting for, any place where the very same words are used in the different documents. I think last week we identified that there's a place in the English Bill of Rights and in the U.S. Bill of Rights where there's something about excessive fines and bails and unusual punishments, and it seemed to be the very same words. If you found something like that, you would write a few words or lines of that here and here, and then you'd go hunting in the other documents and see if you can find the same subject. We know that in the English Bill of Rights, there's a description of how our rights are not... Angie, almost a minute ago, said rights were granted, then she corrected herself. People talk like that, but really our rights are not granted by any documents or governments, nor can they be taken away. It's the liberty to exercise them. So there we identified that place in the U.S. Declaration of Independence, endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. And we saw that in the English Bill of Rights that there was also... What was it that they called those rights? I saw it again today. They used some term for it, not unalienable, but something else, indicating that those rights are not granted by government, nor can anything that government does be taken away. The government is just supposed to secure them. So
what?
What was it?
Undoubted.
That's right. Thank you, Audrey. Unalienable. Undoubted. So I'd like you all to. This is a joint project here. You can have some of these papers again, free of charge. And somebody can write at the top a subject, and then anybody can help fill it in as you find these things. You all can, this is going to be a collaboration, okay? I've been thinking about how this would best be done, and I never got sure. I had the idea that maybe one of you could specialize in one of the four. Each of you could specialize in one of the four documents. Okay, that seemed agreeable to you immediately. Audrey, do you have a obvious preference for one of the four documents that we're working with you'd like to try to be the specialist in?
Declaration of Independence.
All right, you got it. U.S. or... Okay, U.S. Angie, what about you? Do you favor one of the three remaining ones to be the specialist in?
The U.S. Bill of Rights.
All right, you got it. Ava, do you want the Texas Declaration of Independence or the... What's the other one?
The
English Bill of Rights. Which do you want to specialize in?
The English Bill of Rights.
All right, Alvin, that leaves you the Texas Declaration of Independence. So let me, one of the ones we already identified was, I'm going to put up here rights, which is too broad because these things are more or less all about our rights, but I'll put here unalienable, undoubted, and you all can fill in there. The other one was about treatment of the accused, things about imprisonment, bail, fines, jury, etc., okay? And you can start with those, but then I've got a stack of these. There's a blank one, and I've got a stack of these. So if you come up with several more, you can start another sheet, okay? And this is totally collaborative. You can talk it over, ask each other. If you think of something from one of the other documents, that's fine. You can work from the other ones besides your specialty. So if you find something like this in your document, you're welcome to jot some notes from it in the right place on the worksheet. Okay? All right, I'm going to go get a mocha latte and put my feet up somewhere till you all are finished.
Where did you find the rundown of rights?
This is very interesting, but would not make a good recording at all. So I'm going to stop our recording at this point.